Father, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, your faithfulness, your love. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to receive from heaven. We thank you for your holy written word. We thank you, Father God, that your word will not return back to you empty, void, and invalid. Father, that your word will go forth and accomplish what you have sent it forth to accomplish in our hearts and in our lives and in our church, in our communities round about us. We thank you, Father God, that the entrance of your word will bring and give and produce light and understanding. So we thank you, and we exercise our faith tonight together for divine illumination, revelation, insights, concepts, and understandings of your word. We thank you. We subordinate ourselves and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, our great teacher, our guide, our counselor, the one who will guide us into all truth and reveal the word of God unto our spirits and show us things to come. And we give you all of the praise, and we give you all of the honor, and we give you all of the glory for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. For not only informational and inspirational, but a transformational experience tonight in your word and by the Holy Spirit to the glory of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So we're closing up our series on the mission of the church. That doesn't mean we said all we need to say or how that could be said. We want you to understand that we're hitting the high points because our mission is very deep and wide. But we want to make it concise and consistent around the key points that we have shared with you. So tonight's subject matter is connecting to the found to each other. So last week we talked about the connecting the found to each other, and we emphasized connecting up. So tonight we're going to talk about connecting across and having faith friends and partners in Christ, peers and partners in Christ. Amen. Because as we've said before, independence and isolation, living your life in a silo, is not good. Amen. Your salvation is personal, but it's never private. Amen. So you're supposed to live, grow, and give with one another, with each other, being connected to each other. And so we welcome you online, that you've come in online and join us in our teaching minute. We're finishing up our series. We're going to start a new series next Wednesday, and we'd like you to stay along with this. They will put up the information on the screen for how you can connect with us further and how you can contribute and give and be generous. And so we thank you for joining us tonight, and we thank you in person for joining us. So let's go to the Word of God. In Matthew 28:18 through 20, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and in earth, on earth. Therefore, go. Everybody say go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the age. Amen. And so being a disciple means you don't just find Christ, but you follow Christ fully. And so part of following Christ fully and faithfully includes and entails connecting on three different dimensions. And so we said you have to connect to the Word, and you have to connect to the church, and you have to connect to each other. That's the foundational three pillars of your discipleship, ongoing and always growing discipleship, ongoing and always growing discipleship. And again, because we can find Christ, but we to be a disciple of the Lord, we have to choose to fully follow him. Amen. So we have to fully follow him. So some people say, well, I'm a Christian, or I believe in God, but do you follow him? Do you follow him fully? Do you follow him faithfully? And so we said, we talked a lot about connections, and because we got to really emphasize this last point tonight, and I have a lot of good information to give you that will help. Every child of God, as we said about the connections, every believer in Christ should and needs to be connected and planted to their local church. So we didn't say transplanted, but connected and planted. So let's talk about and emphasize in the balance of our time connecting to our across to our peers, partners in the local church. And again, we don't choose where we go to get connected. That's God's choice. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you don't operate in under insubordination. We talked a little bit about that last week. Whose hand are you under? And so we don't want to operate out of a spirit of insubordination or rebellion. Well, we're saying, God, I don't like the people that you have sent me to serve and support. You don't get to pick and choose. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:18, the God has set the members in the body, every one of them, as it pleases him. So he doesn't care if you're happy or mad or sad. It pleases him to put you where he puts you. Amen. Amen. And the first thing we ought to say is, thank you, Lord, you didn't leave me alone and leave me without a family. Amen. And so we said even last week, every sheep needs a shepherd. Amen. And you need to belong to a sheepfold, a household of faith that's called the local church. You might have a natural family, but you need equally important a spiritual family that you connect to the word, you connect to the church, that church, and you connect to each other in that church. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, it says this in the New Living Translation. Instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more. So we should be managing our growth, not just asking each other and inquiring, how's it going? But you need to ascertain, how am I growing? Or how are you growing? We are to be growing in every way more and more like who? Christ. So as we progress in following Christ fully, we should be growing more and more like Jesus Christ. Not growing more and more like the culture of the world. Growing more and more casual, growing more and more critical. We should be growing more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body, who? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work. Everybody say, I've got special work to do. Amen. And to accomplish and fulfill. You have special work to accomplish and fulfill. It helps the other parts grow. So everybody say it this way with me. Say, my growth helps the church to grow. Amen. Amen. And so when you grow, you help other people, other parts of the body grow. You help the church to grow. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen. That's the purpose why we want to connect. Amen. You cannot flourish and you cannot function fully without connecting. And we're talking about, what do we do with this? How do we disciple the found? We connect them to the word. We connect them to the church. And we connect them to each other in a supernatural spiritual relationships. Amen. So we are on this earth, located in this city and community, and you, wherever you are online, and assigned and appointed to your local church to continue the mission. You got to look at the local church as a unit of the big army of the Lord. You are assigned to this unit. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus Christ left for us that mission. Matthew 28:19, therefore go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit and of the Holy Spirit. Now you can look at that. Go in three dimensions or 3 degrees. Go make disciples. In Mark 16:15, it says, go ye, or you go into all the world. That means you go into your culture and penetrate it and influence your culture for Christ and with Christ. Amen. You are to influence culture. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. That means it doesn't matter what class, color, culture, category, what age, stage, or generation they fit into, they qualify as an every creature. You are to spread the gospel. You are to preach the gospel. You are to promote the gospel. You are to proliferate and infiltrate the gospel into your culture, into your world and sphere of influence around you. Go preach. Go proclaim the good news about Jesus. Amen. Does everybody see what I'm talking about? That's your job. That's our number one assignment and mission and mandate. Every church is not existing just to be a bless me club and a fellowship social group. Come on now. Our job is to do his job. Amen. The third degree or go is in Luke chapter 14, verse 23. And the Lord said to his servant, go out. And so we got to get out. We got to get out of the church, get out of our houses. We got to go out and do what? He said, unto the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that his house would be full. So we got to go compel people to come to Jesus and come to church. No matter who's in power and positions of civil and municipal leadership and national political leadership, whoever party's in power, we are to still, our mission and our mandate does not change. He said, what are we going to do? What the Lord told us to do. Go make disciples. Go. That's an action word, right? That's not a passive word. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Amen. Our mission. Everybody say our mission and our mandate does not change. And that's the Lord's priority. Why? Because as we said last August, God calls souls the precious fruit of the earth. And if that means they're valuable, very important, highly valuable and esteemed. In other words, people are valuable and important to God. Now, let me categorize it. Lost people are important and valuable to God. So that means lost people should be very, very important and valuable to us. That's God's main business for us to get done. Now, some people thought they heard the word business and they mistaken it for busyness. And so the great commission has become the great suggestion or the great omission. We are to take care of our Lord's business. The business of winning and catching people for God as fishers of men and women and teenagers and children. Somebody say glory to God. But see, you and I can't just do that on our own. Nor are we expected to. God wants us to work and serve together with Christians he has placed in our lives to bring his hope His help and His healing and transformation into the life of the world via the gospel. His plan of redemption, God's plan, and our given ministry of reconciliation involves the church working together in unity to reach the people around us. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Amplified Classic. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. Everybody say, I receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. Now, some people misinterpret it, and again, I'm just playing on the words here. Some people think, well, I have inability. That's why Barner says people share their faith 1.3 times a year. It should not be of our churches that we're ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that we're too embarrassed to tell people that I gave my heart and life to the Lord. Come on now. He gave us the ability. That means He gave us the boldness. He gave us the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be, and power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness. That means the ability to do it, not to neglect it or ignore it. He gave us efficiency. That means you don't just have your limited, finite genius. You have the Holy Spirit's genius. You have ability. You have efficiency. And you have might. You don't have weakness. You have might. You can do this. Come on now. We can go. We can grow. We can reach the lost. He said ability, efficiency, and might. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. So those describe our four missional reach areas. We can reach people close to us, like our friends and family. We can reach our neighbors and strangers. We can reach people of different classes, colors, and cultures, different ages, stages, and generations, Samaria. And we can reach and extend the gospel all the way around through our prayers and through our partnership giving. Somebody say, glory to God. See, inside the church, this means that we devote ourselves to the members of the local church, local body. I like how one famous minister of God said it this way. One of the first ministries of the body, each body part, is the body. Because as we said in Ephesians chapter 4, as we fit together perfectly, each part does its special work to do what? To help the other people grow. You're not growing doesn't help the church grow. You're not doing your special work hinders the growth and health of the church. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
If you don't say it, say oh me if it hits you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you got to be, your first ministry is to each other. That's why we have to connect to each other. We have to be not me-minded, but we-minded. And see, busyness and stress gets us focused just on our pain, our problems, and our predicaments. We get so consumed with what I'm going through. Hey, we all going to go through. Man, if I could tell you, I went through some stuff today. But we all gone through. But we got to move forward.
Amen.
We got to press past. We got to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, the scripture says. We got to endure hardness. Sometimes we have to suffer persecution. We have the responsibility to challenge, to love, and serve one another in a variety of ways. So when every member takes this seriously, it becomes a healthy church. Because if you look at this as just a religious duty or exercise and not like an assignment from heaven, then you only turn it up or turn it on when you're on the clock or on the schedule. And you remember that time I was telling you about the time that, you know, my heart got cold or callous. I got casual. I wasn't taking notes. Wasn't paying attention. I was highly distracted. I was disengaging. I was disconnecting. Why? Because I thought somebody else's job was to carry the church or do the... But I failed to have a clear revelation that I'm an essential and I'm a vital part of the body that has a job every time we assemble together. Whether I'm on the schedule or whether I'm on duty or not, I have a devotion and a responsibility to the body. Amen. Are you listening to me? And so we all have to think that way. And so every member has to take their role and their responsibility seriously to maintain the health and well-being of the church. That's why you need to stay connected to each other. Amen. When the church functions as God intended, the results are nothing short of miraculous. The church becomes a place of hope, help, and healing, a picture of how God wants humanity to live. But this vision goes beyond the people within the church body. We don't love and serve just to maintain healthy churches or bless me clubs that are really inwardly focused. God's plan is bigger than that. It involves reaching. Everybody say reaching. Out to the whole world. An inwardly focused church is an unhealthy church. When you talk more about what you got to do and your duties and obligations or your appointments in the church than your assignment from the head of the church, that's for everybody. We all share that responsibility. Then you got things out of order or out of priority. Amen. Biblically speaking, a church that fails to look at the lost and the lonely in the world around it is no church at all, which is a club, which is a social group. Now, I'm talking about you staying missional because our subject matter, I've got to close this up tonight, is the mission of the church. If we haven't got a mission clarity over these weeks, we need to go back and review the last messages that we've done to get a missional focus and a missional clarity. We're not coming just to do our job of the service. That's secondary. That's not primary. Primary is to do the Lord's work and the Lord's will. Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory to God. Now, I want you to think about it. It's just in the context of our church, this church. You know, our vision pillars, four visions, like a table legs, four table legs. Our first missional or vision pillar is to reach. That's first priority. Reach who? Reach the lost, unsaved. Reach the lonely, unchurched, people that don't have a church family, don't belong to a church family, because God has prepared families for every person. So those are the candidates for reaching. But we also reach the less fortunate through our almsgiving and our support and acts of mercy. And then we to raise. So the first two missional pillars or vision pillars of this church are outreach, outward focus. We are to raise. Who are we raising? We're making disciples. We're developing laborers and leaders. There's training going on right now. Why? because it should be ongoing and forever growing. We don't stop growing, because when we stop growing, that's a problem. That's why we give resources, tools, training, and technology. Why? Because we need to keep growing. Even if we're in the same position, we should be growing. Because we're raising, what? We're making disciples. We're developing laborers and leaders for God's kingdom. The fourth pillar is relate. We're to relate to each other. Amen. And grow in our relationships with each other. Supernatural, God-ordained relationships. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, because that has to do with how we connect and commit to each other. We're not just to grow spiritually. We are to grow relationally. And then with all of those three priorities or vision pillars accomplished, we revolutionize our community and the culture around us for Christ and with Christ. We are to influence. We are to be a change agent. Like we said, we're just not a church on a corner. We're to be a church in the community, that when people think about it, say, ah, that's that church. Ah, we feel that church. Come on now. We know about that church. Jesus comes to that church. The Lord shows up at that church. The Holy Spirit manifests and moves at that church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got to be a church. And again, the attack with the pandemic, with the race, the racial divide and the social injustice has been bottom line, bet your bottom dollar, a attack on the church, because he wants to take people out of church, but more importantly, he wants to keep people from being the church. Jesus was clear about his purpose on earth. What did he say in Luke 19:10? For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Do you think he changed his purpose when he went to heaven? He's the head. We're part of his body. We're to continue in his ministry. Similarly, our calling to connect and commit to each other is focused on reaching those who don't know God and who have wandered away from God and the things of God. Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the what? You're not the light of the church. You don't want to come and make the spotlight about you. Church is not supposed to be about us. It's supposed to be about Jesus. Come on, it's supposed to be about God. Amen. Ministry is not self-centered. It's supposed to be Christ-centered. It's supposed to exalt and esteem the Lord. Come on now. Amen. And we encourage and engage with each other. He said, you're the light of the world, not the light of the church. A city that sits on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor do the light. Neither they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but in a lampstand. It gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, our focus is just not inward. We got to have in reach. But we also have to have outreach. Or we become lopsided and lazy and lackluster about lost people going to hell and lonely people wanting to commit suicide and getting discouraged and depressed. Why? Because they're all alone without a family. We live in the midst of a threatening environment, don't we not? But we are more than a lighthouse, more like a lighthouse than a bomb shelter. Why? We are to be the lighthouse. They ought to say, man, that church is awesome. They love God and they love people. We're not called to hide from trouble, but to guide others through it. Again, the pandemic has caused Christians to cower in fear instead of give, stand up and give command through faith. We cannot fulfill our mission unless we serve one another in love. But living together in a tight-knit circle is not our ultimate goal. We can serve one another, but we can still be so in-reach focused that all we do is come and high-five and glad hand each other. See, God placed in our church in the midst of a broader community that he want, that so that he can share through us, of course, share and spread his love, hope, and healing into the lives of people around us through us. Who's God's healing hands? Us. Who's God's helping hands? Us. Who has the message of hope to give from God? We do. Now, here's some principles of practice. I'm going to get real practical for the next 15, 20 minutes, and we close. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? All right, so here's some principles of practice of connecting with each other as a local church family. Because, see, this has to be learned. I mean, friendships have to be, and supernatural relationships have to be cultivated and developed. Now, you can just say, well, I just want to be by myself. I just want to keep my close circle just to my family, natural family, and the people I know. And then you don't grow beyond that. So it's just your bubble of people. And what we call that in 2020, click. The command, the direction is connect and not click. Ephesians 4:15 through 16 again. Instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like who? Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the church body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, increase and impact are truths that indicate our health as a church. Because we're supposed to be increasing, growing, multiplying, and making an impact. In other words, we're making a difference. We're just not marking up time. We're not hamster wheeling or treadmilling, as they say. Hamsters just work hard, spinning that wheel, thinking, but it's not going anywhere. Same thing with treadmill. You get on a treadmill, you're sweating and moving hard, but you're in stationary position. We're not to just work hard and go nowhere. We are to make an impact. We are to make a difference. And every person in here and online has the capacity and capability given by the grace and goodness of God to make a difference, to make an impact. I mean, the Bible even gives us clues. One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. That means when we connect to each other, we're 10 times more powerful and more impactful when we connect together. And that indicates our health as a church. Healthy connections and engagement by the members of the church. Because remember, every child of God and every believer in Christ should and needs to be connected and planted to their local church. Now, again, just a little side item about connections, because you can have a fake connection or you can have a feel-good connection. That means I just feel good being around, but I'm not connected fully. We know that with our phones. I knew that when people were on the airplane, for example, and they would, you know, back when they didn't let you use your phone, that's when I started traveling, but on airplane. And so, and then they say, you may turn your cell phones at the time. And just about every person on that plane, we pull it out, and they'd be holding their phone up and looking for what? Connection. Just like in relationship, people looking for what? Connection. But some people can have a bad connection. Some people can have a fake good connection. That means they're not really in faith in that connection. They're really faking it. Or some people just only have a feel-good connection. But we need to have healthy, good connections. Are you listening to me? Everybody needs to be connected and planted. Everybody say planted. Planted means that you grow roots deep and wide. Everybody say deep and wide. Deep and wide roots. So you're not easily uprooted. Now, what is engagement? We talked about that early on in the pandemic, and sometimes it's a lost number or lost thought or concept or idea. But see, how do we measure engagement? How do we ascertain engagement? Well, you have to attend fervently. Fervently. Fervently meaning purposefully, passionately, and pertinently. That means you're not showing up empty-hearted or empty-headed. You got your faith on the line when you show up. You got your focus in place, and you got your faithfulness to bring to bear. Hallelujah. Praise God. So there is great purpose and intentionality of why you're here. You show up. You keep showing up. You show up on time. You show up prepared and ready to help and learn. Remember we said, when every time you come to a church service, a meeting, or a room, you ask those two questions. Who can I help? Amen. And what can I learn? When you start learning, stop learning, you stop leading and laboring faithfully. When you stop learning, you stop leading and laboring faithfully. Everybody should be walking out of every church meeting with what the Holy Spirit has impressed and impacted their heart and illuminated their mind, informed their mind. This is what you need to practice. This is what you need to do. This is your next step. You attend fervently. Don't just show up and sit and like a flop. That's how people fall asleep and just fall like they're bored in church. No, you're never supposed to be bored. When the church gets boring, when the things of God get boring, the trouble is not with other people. The trouble is with you. See, you're ready to help and learn, and you're not showing up to judge, criticize, or complain. Secondly, you give faithfully. You give your time, your talent, your treasure, and your testimony of God's goodness and faithfulness. Our tithes, our offerings, our best talents, our God-given abilities, our willing and available service and volunteer time. That means, God, you gave me 1 hour to serve your people. You gave me 2 hours. Let's just say 2 hours because, you know, church, you got before and after, right? So you gave me 2 hours to serve. You should be, whoo. Woo! Glory to God. I get to serve again. I'm excited. I'm expectant. I'm energized to serve for those 2 hours. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and for the honor and for the opportunity to minister to your people. Because what did he say in Psalms 100? Serve the Lord with gladness, not madness, not sadness, not... I'm on the schedule again. And when I'm not on the schedule, I'm really look rough and ragged. I'm just being real. I got to close this thing up tonight. Praise God. We got to hit all the corners. You got to show up with your best talents, your best God-given abilities. People outside should not get the best of us, but the Lord should get the best of us. He should have the best of us. We're doing our best. Why? Because we're doing it for the Lord. We're doing it as unto the Lord, just like he's here in person and we're personally ministering to him. That's how you should focus your faithfulness in your service and love to the body.
Amen.
That's why, you know, like Brother Stephen and I, you don't show up ill-prepared. You don't show up not ready. Even if you're not on schedule, you can say, I'm ready, Lord. And I'm open and willing to serve. Why? Because you're walking through that door and saying, who can I help? What can I learn? And the Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. And so we're always ever learning and ever loving and serving. You've muzzled and stifled the Holy Spirit if you're not ever learning or you're not ever loving and serving. You're saying, how may I serve you? That's the theme of your heart. Look at verse 3, number 3. Inviting frequently. This is the big one. All three of them are big ones. You're inviting frequently. When's the last time you've compelled somebody to come to church? When's the last time you put your invite, personal invite, and said, I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to take you to lunch, but I'm going to take you to church? Too often we let family, friends, and fickle stuff cause us not to bring or come to church. They might not like the fact that I got to come early and sit there and be bored for a few minutes before church service starts. I don't want them to feel awkward. They might run into Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so, and they might be praying in tongues, and we being in the prayer room, and we don't want them to get scared. Like the Holy Spirit's going to hurt somebody. Well, praise the Lord. Let me keep going. Hallelujah. So you got to introduce people to Jesus. You got to compel people. You got to invite bringing people to church and bring people to church. Catching people for God as fishers of men. Look at Proverbs 11:30, Amplified verse. It says, the fruit of the uncompromising and righteous is a tree of life. And he who is wise captures human lives for God as fishers of men. He gathers and receives them for eternity. Now, if you got notes here, and we will have notes online, and there's notes if you're part of this church on CCB, and so we'll have notes there. But I put the extra notes, just written them out, because we need to study those things. Because God does everything off of a promise, a principle, and a pattern. And so he's promised us a family. He's promised us connectivity within that family. He's promised us community, and unity is available. Psalms 133 is a powerful 3-verse scripture chapter. It's, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's a promise. He said it's good and it's pleasant. And he said, it's like the anointing on Aaron's beard. It's like the dew of Hermon in the grass that comes up. What does that represent? The anointing will bring power, but it will also bring pleasure. The joy. Some people aren't happy about connecting to the church. Why? Because they haven't grasped the promise. Church should be the best thing and the best experience of your week. But most people Facebook about eating, playing, taking pictures. That should not be the best highlight of our week. The highlight of our week is when we show up to work on Monday or we go to our neighborhood, walk into the mailbox, for example, or just whatever scenario you're in. You should be saying, woohoo, glory to God. We had a great time at church. We had an awesome time in the Lord. And they see the fire and the fun that you're having about church. Come on now. And that it spreads on them. I got to come to there. We're not having that kind of fun. Are you listening to me? So we capture human lives for God. We're biting out of our overflow of our excitement, our engagement, and our energy and expectation about the Lord. I guarantee, you know, they got these guys guaranteeing games and stuff. I guarantee, you say, I guarantee the Lord's going to do something good for you and for me when we come to church. Well, praise the Lord. So here's some principles. I'll just hit some high points. I'll turn it over. These are principles. So we've got the promise, then you got the principles. There's the principles I've listed here, like the law of purpose. This is commitment to the commission. We know that the purpose of the church is the purpose of the church and the purpose of the church within the sphere of influence, our reputation, our role, our responsibility, the law of expectation. That means status quo is not an option. That means I can't get complacent or get non-compliant about never inviting or never going. That's status quo. God doesn't want his churches not to grow. He wants his churches to grow. Amen. So we are to believe and behave in a manner that growth is normal, predictable, imperative, and supernatural for us as a community. Growth is expected. It is an imperative. We got to grow. Individually, we got to grow numerically and spiritually, relationally and financially. The law of design. Every member is a minister. Now, again, that goes against established religious thinking because we think, well, there's only one minister or one pastor or one or two people that are on, you know, leadership. No, every member is a minister. See, we be and become a church that raises and releases leaders who equips the saints and expects every member to function as a minister. So remember what we said, the mission of the church in the bigger picture is to win the lost, disciple the found, and empower the call. How are you equipped and empowered as the called? Well, he sends pastors, fivefold ministers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, so that the saints will do the work of the ministry. Now, religion says that the pastor preaches the sermon and he does all the work of the ministry. But every member is to become a minister. Everybody say, I'm a minister. I'm a member. But I'm also a minister. You're supposed to be a minister. You're supposed to not sit but serve. So you're in the ministry of helps. Come on, everybody say, I'm in the ministry. You've been called and given to God through Jesus Christ, the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody say, I'm in the ministry. You're supposed to be in the ministry of reconciliation. There are seven ministries of the local church. I'm not going to list all of them because I'm almost out of time. But there's seven ministries. So you got to have a mindset, a perspective that's bigger than you, and optics that says, I am a growing and giving and going minister. Hallelujah. The law of liberation, discovering and developing gifts, the law of dependency, sparking spiritual vitality and renewal, the law of culture, which means you are spotting and breaking through growth barriers. So we get rid of our what? Our fixed mindsets and adopt a growth mindset. The law of focus, that means we lead with both an outward and inward focus. We need to have a healthy balance of inreach and outreach. In other words, we exist in part for the people who don't yet belong to our church. We exist in part for people that do not belong here. Because we must focus on who we want to reach as well as those we want to keep. Now, here's some principles to practice. Principle number one, when we're connecting across. To connecting across, understand and practice to complete the servant leadership loop. So that means we do caring, we do learning, we do appreciating, we do contributing, we do verbalizing, we do leading, we do succeeding. So all of that fuels a connected and committed relationship to others. Caring is taking interest in people. Amen. Learning is getting to know people. See, a lot of people want them to know me. They don't understand me. They don't care about me. No, you have to give care for people to care about you. Amen. You need to get to know people, and they will get to know you. Amen. We start first with generosity, with giving. Amen. If you want friends, you must be, what, friendly. You appreciate, you respect people. You contribute, you add value to people. How do you do that? Well, you don't keep your best stuff to yourself. Now, some people always want to keep their good stuff for what they can get for themselves. But the church should have the best. Your Christian peers should be given the best of you. The best of your time, the best of your talent, the best of your money. The best of your testimony and encouragement. Amen. Amen. You fill in their gaps. You don't look for the weaknesses and the opportunities. You fill in. Who can I help? Yes, I can help them in this area. You don't hurt them by calling out their gaps, their shortcomings, their idiosyncrasies, their flaws and faults. You don't pull their pants down, so to speak, and shame them and shatter their esteem. Come on now, you fill in their gaps. Everybody say, Lord, help me be a gap filler. Everybody's got weaknesses, including, you know, myself. We all do. You invest in their growth. You take them along with you. You don't leave them behind. You verbalize. You affirm people. You influence your peers, partners, by becoming their best cheerleader. So who are you cheerleading? Some people will love to be the coach, because the coach gets in your face and gets on your case. And some, you have a coach in the Holy Spirit. But your role is to be a cheerleader. Go, brother. Go, brother. Go. Go, sister. Go, sister. Go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You acknowledge their accomplishments. You speak positive things about them. You sincerely compliment them at every opportunity. You look for the good and call and affirm the good in them. Don't look for the bad and point out the bad and be their worst critic and be cynical with them. Well, praise the Lord. Run out of time. Then you succeed. You win with people. You don't do things or use others to make you look good. You love and lead people, your peers and your partners. And so your team looks good, and so God looks good. You ensure everybody wins together. Now, you got the rest of those in there. I'm going to just go finish principle number two. I might cover another point. Yeah, principle number six, I'll go down to there. Just hit a couple more points. Almost out of time. Principle number, be completing fellow laborers and leaders instead of competing with them. Are you a completer or are you a competer? Now, I know the natural proclivity is for people to be competitive. Now, sports is all on. I think they just finished the Hockey Stanley Cup Finals and the Tampa Bay won, I think, Lightning. So that their competition season is over, you know, for now, you know, until they start back up. But baseball's going into postseason. Basketball's in the finals. Football just started. Are y'all here with me? So there's a lot of competition. So sometimes that fuels a competitive spirit in people. And it's nothing wrong with competitive focus for the right reason and for the right results.
Amen.
Amen? But when we talk about each other, we don't compete, we complete. So a competing mindset will make you win at all costs when it comes to your peers and partners. I want to be out front. I want to be the big man on campus. I want to be the center of attention. I want to be large and in charge. I want to be the big boss with the hot sauce. And so a competing mindset has scarcity or fixed mindset. You know, I can't let anybody get beyond me, or I will never let anybody else get beyond or grow beyond me. I'm the best at this. A completing mindset is abundance and growth mindset. A competing mindset is me first. A completing mindset is team or church first. A competing mindset destroys trust. A completing mindset and actions develops trust. Competing thinks win-lose. A completing thinks win-win. How can we make this a win-win relationship? Competing is single thinking. Completing is shared thinking. What do you think about that? How do you think that process works? What do you think we can do better? How can I help you a little bit better? Amen. Excluding others or including others. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me just pick it one more. Let's just get, oh my goodness, praise God. Principle 5 and 6, and then we're going to close. Brother Steve, get ready. All right. Expand your circle of acquaintances. This is a big one. I'll bring that one out. Number 3 and 4 were be a friend and avoid church politics and religious correctness. You can read those. But that's a big one, because we have to avoid gossip, grumbling, and complaining. Because great people talk about ideas. Average people talk about themselves. And small people talk about others. Because we have to stay away from petty arguments and agreement. We have to stand up for what's right and not for just what's popular. So we expand our circle of acquaintance by the more broader you connect with people, the greater your potential to influence and be positively influenced by others. See, if you're not inclined to stretch yourself relationally, then think about this. Because stretching yourself relationship means getting to know somebody else, connecting with somebody new. See, when churches want to have a small mindset, they don't want to meet new people or learn more about the people they know. I'm done with you. I'm tired of you. I don't want to go so far. I'm going to stay to myself. And that's why when you walk in a room, sometimes some people are just isolated on what's going on in their phone and in their world. They may even have earpieces in. What are they telling you? I don't want to connect. I don't want to be bothered with you. Well, praise the Lord. See, if you're not inclined to stretch, think about this. People are like rubber bands. They are most valuable when they're stretched. So are you. Not when you're at rest. When you choose to avoid greeting and connecting with others, you are resting and not stretching. You walk in and you're so focused and you just put your stuff down, get your hands sanitized, and you're just about doing your bit. You walk slowly. Walk slowly through the church. Look up. Smile and speak up. And just say hi. Hallelujah. When you choose to stay in a holy huddle with just the people you know, you are resting and not stretching. You got to get out of your comfort zone and get into the relational game. Sometimes people become relationally irresponsible or relationally ill because they refuse to stretch. Now, how do you do this? You expand beyond your inner circle. You expand beyond your expertise. Now, the Lord dealt with me about that. He said, no, you got more friends in ministry and friends that you can get involved. I said, this is my conversation with the Lord. I didn't want to be bothered with more Facebook friends. Just being honest about it. I don't want to have to look at all their news. But he said, you need to connect. You need to connect across. He had told me a time before when we were dealing with who our mentors are and spiritual leaders are. He said, you need to connect up more. You need to connect up. So we connected up. But I wasn't connecting across. He said, you need to connect across. I said, I don't want any more friends trying to always tell me what to do or take up my time. But he said, you need to stretch. You need to expand beyond your inner circle, beyond your expertise, beyond your strengths, beyond your personal preferences and prejudices. Because somebody said, well, I just don't want to have too many people. Did God say that when he's bringing people into the kingdom? I'm glad he didn't cap us off. It says, after Jesus and the book of Acts is done, no more people. No more Christians. Let them all go to hell. No, he didn't say that. Amen. We have to expand beyond our routine. Some of us are so routine, scheduled, and regimented, we can't stop and pause for other people. You can't pause and send a text or make a phone call or encourage somebody. Last one, big idea. Let the big idea, best idea win. Y'all getting something out of this? So you need to resist the temptation to fight for your idea when it may not be the best idea. See, God's idea is not just good ideas. They are the lifeblood of the church. We all should be walking around with what did the Lord tell us to do. That's the best idea. There's a lot of good ideas, a lot of good things other churches are doing, but we're born as a church to be an original. We don't die a copycat unless the Lord says, do that. He put us at this place for this purpose with his plan. Amen? So we must not put the proper preparation in prayer to ascertain the best ideas from the Lord. Now it does. You have to put in intellectual investment, so you can't just be not wanting to study and put some think time in. Thinking through on the problem, planning and problem solving, spent together, creating and refining, refocusing an idea. You have to put some physical investment. That means preparation time. Faith prepares. Faith gets ready for meetings, worship service, classes, and presentations with time, effort, and resources. So physical preparation is huge. Why? Because faith prepares. We're doing the natural and the supernatural to prepare even to come to a church service. Amen. The emotional investments. We think through small, fixed mindsets that only thinks about ideas that fit their potential impact on yourself, but we think about the bigger picture, the bigger perspective about how this idea will build and bless and benefit the church. And then spiritual investment, which is throne time. Guys, we'll talk about it more tomorrow in the balanced month coming as we We got to pray. You can't lead if you don't pray. Amen. You can't love effectively if you don't pray. Amen. You can't learn completely and fully if you don't pray.
Right.
Praise God. Stand to your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.